So we have lots to discuss. Now, you had sent me a note on, Oiler fans, if they went against their heart, how right now they could be in a much better situation.
Oh, yeah, right now it's continuing on this 11-game slide to look worse.
The Oilers are 11, they've lost, like when they lose 7 in a row, do you see, like, do the odds become more in favor to bet on them to win? Like, does it change that much or not really?
Well, you got to think about it in some ways. People think about it like a roulette wheel. They think black and white, or black and green, black and red. You're thinking, eventually, 7 reds got to go black. Eventually. Well, unfortunately, in this case, no, not really.
But the odds makers don't change it. They don't really impact.
Well, yes,
them.
The odds makers are now working on public perception. As a few weeks ago, we had that looking at a situation where. I can't remember the team. Was it the Blues? Yeah, it was the Blues we used. And 95% of people bet the Blues puck line to win by 2 goals, and they only won by 1. The Oilers actually covered. So that was a situation where typically you're looking at the odds makers adjusting the line to try to get some. They don't want to lose either, right?
Yeah.
So they have to make it enticing for somebody
so
to bet.
So they try to entice them to see if the Oilers will lose by 2 goals. And increase the odds, right? So they give you better odds for St. Louis to win by, for San Jose, for instance,
and,
to win by 2.
And that's where we use the puck line a lot of the times, the -1, the -1.5, because otherwise it's not worth, many times it's not worth putting -300 down on a team, you know, where you have to bet $30 to win 10. Whereas if you think, well, you know what, an empty net goal isn't out of the question here if they're up even in a close game, you know, whereas now you're getting, you know, -110, -120, -150, much more reasonable. And then, like I said, in this one case, many times people get enticed by the puck line, you know, to beat the Oilers by 2 goals. So they have to make it interesting at some level.
Now, yesterday in your daily newsletter, you gave out all of the raw numbers straight up for the NBA and the NHL, and it included kind of your mechanisms. So you guys, when you start, handicapping analysis and stuff like that, how different really are the analysis for NBA to the NHL?
Not terribly different. I mean, we start with the model of what do the raw numbers say. We look at, okay, these numbers tend to stand out. This team has an edge by this, and this team has an edge by that. If it, you know, the ones that typically stand out. And then we look and go, okay, well, you know, in the NBA, we look at one database. In the NHL, we look at another database. Actually, it works the same in everything. In the NFL and Major League Baseball, now we start looking at, okay, those numbers stood out. What was yesterday? Tampa. Tampa was, I think, a 0.8. Goal advantage over the Sabres.
And crushed them 5-0.
And they crushed them. When we like that, we actually like them to cover the puck line, which was -1.5. I gave that out in one of the things that I'm doing now called a Motown Momentum play, which on Sports Select, I do one play a day kind of in that respect.
And that's it. If you sign up for the newsletter, you get
you
that.
You sign up for the newsletter. Every time I put the newsletter out, I give you one free play every single time. So far, we're 3-0. So that's not a bad, you know, people love picks. You know, they love the analysis, and that's what we're here for. We're here to give you good information, but you know, we want to at the end of the day give you something solid that if you want to go out make a sports leg bet or you're betting on in sports books, you know, you got something a little more handy in your tool chest.
Last Lance Motown Fisher from weekendwagers.com joins us now. There's an actual thing called martingaled where if you lose then you just double your, like, if you lose, let's say for argument's sake, you had bet on the Oilers to beat Winnipeg for $100. It's a clear number.
Yeah.
You lose. So then the next game against San Jose, now it's $200 to it. People actually do this and always do it in hopes to eventually gain their money?
Not to go back into the French, 18th century history, but, you know, you do learn a lot on the Jason Greger show. Yes, it actually was invented, this system in wagering, 300 years ago.
And it's called Martingale.
It's called Martingale by a good fellow named Martingale. And
okay.
Basically, the idea was that as long as you keep doubling your bet, you're eventually – I mean, of course, the principles were, again, just like a roulette wheel, as a 50-50. Of course, with the zeros, I mean, let's not get into all specifics, but, you know, the takeaway from a 50-50, the house has to win somewhere with a zero. But in this case, if you just keep doubling your bet, you know, you bet 100 to win, then you bet 200 to win, you bet 400 to win. On an 11-game winning streak, the 11-game losing streak, you'd be down about $200,000 right now had you been hoping the Oilers would come through somewhere on this road trip.
Now, the Sagarin rankings, which come out on USA Today, has the Oilers ranked dead last in the NHL. No surprise, because they are 30th. You know, they're 2-10 versus the top 10 Sagarin-ranked teams so far, right? So that's almost half of their games are against the top-ranked teams. Now, the Sagarin ratings are part of the BCS algorithm. And this guy is the purest of pure when it comes to sports statisticians. So should you? So when people are looking to wager, should they take into account the Sagarin rankings? Are they that important?
His primary goal, especially when you're dealing with, you know, the BCS, you're dealing with strengths of schedule. That is the number, you know, the number one. And he also deals with the pre-qualifying of the NCAA basketball tournament. So with that, obviously, you know, he's really into strength of schedule, and he ranks the Oilers dead last in this case, but with a very heavy strength of schedule. So that is one of the, you know, you definitely put that, again, when we look at after the, you know, the raw numbers and we start looking at more the analytical side, the trends, the natural, when you're looking at different types of numbers, strengths of schedule is one of those factors that kind of build into the bigger picture. You know, one of many factors, but it is an important one. Right now, it's actually showing, if you really look at it, that the Blue Jackets are the worst team in the league, playing one of the easier schedules. So, you know, the Oilers, as bad as they are and competing, you know, they're competing against harder teams. And let's also look at it.
Hey, it's Positive Friday. Don't give Oiler fans negative news thinking the worst team because they want McDavid.
Well, we could be second and get Eichel. So we got. But look at this. Let's look at the upside. I want to be an upside. It's Positive Friday, Jason. I want to tell you that the Oilers have got 8 out of 11 of this losing streak. They got 8 moral victories, losing by only a goal. So you got to think. Let's spin it up. You know, upside down, glass half full. You know, that's covering the puck line, my friend. That's cover. You know, covering the puck line to lose by less than 2 goals. You got it right there.
Now, NFL, of course, we're getting that now. Fantasy football, a lot of guys are in playoffs, but that doesn't impact what we're talking about. But now your pick of the week, the Cardinals are 14-0 against the spread with the line is within three.
So if they failed to cover their last two, the perfect spot for them, especially considering
to bounce back to against KC.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look at KC last week. They didn't exactly look like gangbusters last week. I wouldn't call this a player of a week. It's just one of these trends that now we've been doing lately, and it does definitely look like there's a lot of momentum on the Cardinals, if you did like the Cardinals, which, you know, I think, you know, that is one of those situations which look good. One of the games we really like, you know, let's face it, the looking at the bandwagon that's lost its wheels, stolen by all the people who jumped off it, the Seahawks. You know, once a storied six-month franchise, you know, championship franchise is now, lo and behold, a dog on the road in Philly, and, you know, Philly with Mark Sanchez. So this is one
we you really like Seattle.
We right, there you go. There's exactly. Look at the public. Public loves Philly here. Seattle's garbage. They've already, you know, they have no chance at anything. But one interesting fact, or a series of interesting facts, is look at how they score their touchdowns, non-offensive touchdowns. Of the 42 touchdowns they've scored, 10 of them so far have been non-offensive, including
their defense punts, is scoring tons.
Two picks, 2 kick returns, 2 fumbles, 2 punt returns, and 2 block punts, of all things. So they got 10 touchdowns that way. Where, you know, and
so 25% of their touchdowns
have been off. Yeah, and Sanchez right now, I think he's 8-6 as far as TD to interception ratio. So I mean, Sanchez is Sanchez. He's, you know, he's fine. He'll be a filler. But you know, this is a great spot for the Seahawks. And looking at one of our systems that we really like, on top of the raw numbers, since '89, we've used this one on the show before. But road teams on their second road game or more are 9-33, 8-27, and 46, 53% against the spread. Automatically, the further they go, the big public perception is that the longer they are on the road, the worse they're going to be. And Seattle does have that perception over years, especially on the East Coast, of being a bad team, and I'm guaranteed that's one of the reasons why the odds are set that they are. But Seattle's a much different team in the last 2 years or 3 years than they were, you know, the 10 years previous to that. So this is a great spot for Seattle to bounce back and win this game straight up.
Another one, the Texans. Now, Watt, I don't know what the record is for most touchdowns by a defensive player in a season, but he's got to be close.
Wow, yeah, the Texans.
But that's not a reason to bet on him, is it?
No. One again, back. That's like saying, you know, you're Hamilton, and you know, we Are you betting on Hamilton because they have a great, you know, kick returner, which I guess would have made a possible difference in the last 5 minutes of that game? But, you know, you're looking at the Texans. We still love this stat. We've been using this one for a while, which is they're 3-17 outside the first month in the last since 2013. So, again, last 2 years, they just can't get it together. Yeah, they, you know, we liked them last week. And obviously they decided to make us look bad, but really the facts are there. Out of 20 games, you know, they've won three of them, and that's why they don't make the playoffs.
Lance Motown Fisher from Weekend Wagers joins us. Go to weekendwagers.com. Sign up for their free newsletter. Comes out daily. The interesting game to me, well, there's a lot of them. Obviously, I was surprised at how many people actually think Buffalo and Denver. I don't like that game whatsoever, but. Baltimore-Miami. Now, obviously I'm biased, so I'm going to ask an unbiased person, how do you see this game? Because to me, the winner of this game stays in the playoff rank, the loser's out.
Perception says Miami looks terrible right now. Like Miami, what is it right now, +3. They didn't look like they wanted to beat the Jets. So it's hard to believe that they really want to beat Baltimore. You know, I guess I'd say I can tell you that our lean, as much as we actually, to be honest, we like Miami as a team, as a franchise, they do a lot of good things. This week, I don't know. You know, that might be something we'll put out in the newsletter, but, you know, I can definitely say, you know, it's a questionable game. Not a lot of stats on that, but, you know, we're not liking them as much as we probably should based on where they've come from and where they are right now in the NFL, trying to get a playoff spot.
What about the fact that Nagata is out? Like, he's huge for their defense. How much does key injuries play in? Does that ever alter a line that much? Like, that guy, you know, maybe their two best defensive players are out. The corner, whose name escapes him right now, and then he just got the 4-game suspension, so he's done for the rest of the regular season. How much does that impact them?
Ask Bill Belichick how much that impacts.
Well,
No, but really, look at, you know, in a 55-man roster, of course, every injury matters. But typically, all injuries, other than a quarterback, and even then, it's built into the line. The odds makers look at that and go, okay, well, everybody knows that the two best defensive players for Miami are, we definitely think we should make Miami a bigger dog, you know, because nobody's going to want to bet them, except all of a sudden two guys step up who you've never heard of, you know, some draft pick out of wherever comes up, makes a big play, and all of a sudden it's, you know, that guy's getting a starting spot next year, and now they got a stronger team. You know, there's all sorts of, you just can't think black and white. Oh, yeah, that's bad. Is everything bad? Quarterbacks obviously are a big difference, but everyone else is expendable in the NFL. You know, their depth, and of course, it goes back to the teams of, you know, who has depth, who doesn't. But particularly on defenses, I personally, my handicapping philosophy, defense injuries are important, but defensive injuries, in my opinion, are less important than offensive injuries. Because defensive injuries, you know, you need heart to play defense. And yes, technically, there are great cornerbacks and shutdown corners and all that great stuff. So cornerbacks, obviously, on the defense would be a huge issue. But really, it's people who move the ball, score points. Otherwise, you know, a defense doesn't just fall apart because one guy isn't there. That's my opinion.
Now, Dave wants to know, he's a Giants fan, if by the Martingale theory, they are due. However, they've lost 6 in a row. Tennessee's lost 7 in a row. Who do you like in the loser bowl?
Well, yeah, I can tell you this, Jason, that last week Vegas made a fortune on the Jaguars. You know, looking it up, you know, the Jaguars pulled that upset win, and, you know, the teasers were done, the straight ups, the spread, everything was garbage by the end of the day. That means Vegas made a lot of money when a hugely upset team like the Jaguars come in and, you know, do their thing. So, I mean, looking at the raw stats, I can definitely tell you that there's, you know, a very slight advantage if you're looking at the Giants. But, you know, one of these games, yes, sometimes we, and I know we talked about it earlier in the year that, you know, these are the games you kind of have to look at, and are there any major advantages? But, you know, this one is so iffy. You know, it's a pick 'em, basically, so we're going to keep it at that. It's a pick 'em. It's a garbage game, and legitimately, even for wager-wise, it's treated as a garbage game. This one has, you know, it's hard to bet complete losers both ways. There's no real trending stats to go, you know, on our side anyways.
Okay, so your Seattle is your pick of the week on the road. in Philadelphia. You can go to weekendwagers.com if you want to have a daily one all the time. You sign up for the free newsletter and all sorts of great insight, NFL, NBA, NHL, of course. You're a big NHL fan. I know they're on a huge run. I think your units are like 22 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, we're like hitting 70% on the raw numbers. So like that's what you get when you sign up. You get the raw numbers and you get our plays. So people who just like looking at the numbers going, what's the edge? You get those. It's beautiful. A lot of guys have signed up for that.
All right, Lance, we will talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.